Cosgrove Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Niver. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at CosgroveGraceChurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
I've entitled this message, His Reign and Our Will. His Reign and Our Will. In Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 11, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And he said therefore," and this is prophetic, he's really talking about himself and how it will be. "And he said therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return." Now our Lord is referring to his resurrection, his ascension, his going back to heaven, and his return. The Lord will come again. Verse 13, "And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy, gain by trading, till I come." Now this is his message to the professing church. While I'm gone, occupy. Till I come. Verse 14, "But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, We will not have this man to reign over us." Now this was the will or the desire of his citizens. We will not. We have no desire for this man to reign over us. Now the word reign is the verb form of the word king. It means literally to be king, to rule. If you reign, that means your will is being done. His reign is his sovereignty. And this is what men dislike, his sovereignty. We will not have this man to be sovereign, to rule as a king over us. Now let's talk about what the sovereignty of Christ means. The Lord is sovereign. That means he has a will. He has a purpose. He has an intention. There is such a thing as the will of God. But unlike us, he has the power to make his will come to pass because he is omnipotent. Now, I have a will, but I can't make my will come to pass. He can because he is omnipotent. He has the power to make his will come to pass. And he always does make his will come to pass. There is never a time when he does not cause his will to come to pass. Everything that happens, he is behind because he's sovereign. Psalm 115 verse 3 says, "Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased." Daniel said, "He doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou?" Does someone say, "Well, I just can't believe that. I can't believe that he's the first cause behind everything." Well, that's part of his sovereign will. You are serving his sovereign purpose. Proverbs 16:1 says, "The preparations of the heart of man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." Even your disbelief, he is in control of. And he's going to use that for his glory and to the praise of the glory of his justice. The scripture says, "The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Now, what is the natural man's response to his sovereignty or his sovereign will? Now, this is what comes from the heart. We will not have this man to reign over us. We have no king but Caesar. Now, what is your will regarding his reign? Now, to reign means to be king. And their response was, we'll not have this man to be king over us. But the fact of the matter is, he is the king. He's the king whether you and I like it or not. He's the King of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. God said concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I've heard preachers say, make him the Lord of your life. You can't do that. God has made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He was not put into office as king by me or you. You know, over in John chapter 6, after some fellows saw the miracles he worked and how he fed the thousands, they said, let's make him king. And they sought to take him by force to make him a king. And he refused their coronation. You see, he already was king. No man makes him king. He is king. He is he who was born king of the Jews. And when he was crucified, do you know what the accusation written against him was? Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. How kingly he was in his life. He exercised complete dominion over all things. How kingly he was in his death. Why, death couldn't take him until he gave it permission. How kingly he was in his resurrection as he raised himself from the dead. How kingly he was in his ascension. What power he demonstrated when, as the scripture says, lift up your heads, ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts, mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. And beloved, as I speak right now, he sits on a throne as the King of kings and the Lord of lords, ruling and reigning. And it is as a king that he shall return. Now, where do you and I fall in here? What do you think about his reign? What is your will regarding his reign? Are you happy and glad? Do you rejoice that he reigns? Or are you like these people who say, we will not have this man reign over us? Now, whatever our will is regarding this, it doesn't alter the fact, as Psalm 93:1 says, the Lord reigneth. You know, it never says the Lord reigned. No, because he's still reigning. His reign is never over. Moses said, the Lord shall reign forever and forever. We read regarding the Lord Jesus in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his reign, his rule, his control, his sovereignty is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now there is in the believer's heart some understanding and some love of his reign. Before Nebuchadnezzar was changed into a beast, he was told why God was doing this, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Now, everything that's going on in this earth, I don't care if it's in the Middle East, I don't care if it's in Africa, Asia, Australia, wherever it is, what's taking place, whatever natural disasters there are, whatever political upheaval there is, whatever good happens, he's in control of it. He reigns in all things. He reigns. And this is what the living may know, to the intent that the living may know the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Now let me give you some scriptures regarding his reign. In Psalm 97:1, we read, the Lord reigneth. That's just a fact. You know what it says next? Let the earth rejoice. You see, if the Lord doesn't reign, think of the alternative. That means either the devil's reigning, men are reigning, or blind fate and chance and luck is what brings everything to pass. There's nothing to rejoice in anything like that. Only fear and dread. But this one who reigns, the Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice. Now listen to me regarding His reign. You and I don't have any control in this. We can't manipulate Him. We can't get Him to respond to us. But that's okay, because this one who reigns is good. He's essentially good. And whatever He does is right. And with Him reigning, we have reason to rejoice. He's just. He's omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent, everywhere at once, all-wise. And what a reason we have to rejoice in His reign. Oh, thank Him for this. The Lord reigneth. The Lord's the first cause behind everything. Therefore, let the earth rejoice. Now, I'd like to read a passage of Scripture from 1 Chronicles 29, verse 12. We read, "Both riches and honor come of Thee, and Thou reignest over all, and in Thy hand is power and might, and in Thine hand it is to make great and to give strength." Now, because the Lord reigns, and He does, He reigns, because He reigns, it's in His power to make somebody like me or you great. And I don't mean great in the worldly sense. What men consider greatness is nothing. That which is highly esteemed among men, the Scripture says, is an abomination in the sight of God. But because the Lord reigns, He can make a man truly great. Justified. No guilt. Sanctified. Holy. Perfectly conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's great. And He gives strength. He gives strength to do that which we could not do. He gives strength to believe. He gives strength to repent. He gives strength to love. He gives strength to persevere in the faith. Because He reigns, He can make one great. He does make every believer, everybody that Christ died for, He makes them great. And He gives them strength to do what they could not do unless He gave them that strength. And this is all because He reigns. Because He reigns, there's something called grace. Sovereign grace that He is pleased to bestow. Psalm 99:1 says, "The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble." Now we read where the Lord reigns and we're to rejoice. We read because of the Lord reigns, He can make great and give strength. But here it says, because the Lord reigns, let the people tremble. Tremble in fear. Now what is this thing of being afraid of God or the fear of God? It's a good thing. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We read of those who have no fear of God, they're unbelievers. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. Now, what is this all about? You will only worship a sovereign. One that you cannot control. One that you cannot manipulate. One that you cannot make Him respond to your wishes. You'll only worship a sovereign. Not one who you can get Him to do what you want Him to do. You won't worship that God. You see, that God's a little God. That God's in your back pocket. You know, people who believe in free will, they believe that their will actually is sovereign over God's will. They worship a little God, a pygmy God, not the God of the Bible. You will only worship a God in whose hands you are. And He can do with you whatever He's pleased to do. That's the only God you'll worship. If you can manipulate Him, if you can control Him, you won't worship that God. Really, you control that God. That God's your puppet. Oh, but a God that you can't control. A God that's absolutely reigning on the throne, whose will must be done, and whatever He does is right. And your salvation, your eternal destiny is up to Him. It's not in your hands. It's in His hands. That God you will worship. You will fear. Any other God is a non-existent God, not the God of the Bible. Now, the Lord reigneth. He's in control. Let the people tremble. Now, listen to this next one. This is found in Psalm 96:10. It says, "Say ye among the heathen, the Lord reigneth." Now, the heathen are those who do not believe. This is the message that the unbeliever needs to hear. The Lord reigneth. The Lord exercises absolute sovereignty. This is what the unbeliever needs to hear. Say ye to the heathen, that God that you don't believe, you're in His hands. He is absolutely sovereign. He controls everything and everyone. And this sovereign God is the only Savior. Say ye to the heathen that men are dead in sins, totally dependent upon this sovereign God to save them. Say ye to the heathen that this sovereign God sovereignly elected a people to be saved before time began. That's who will be saved. Say ye to the heathen that the sovereign Son has covenanted to save all the Father gave Him. And when He said it is finished, their salvation was completed. Say ye to the heathen that the sovereign Spirit blows where He wills and gives life to whom He will, and that His grace is irresistible and invincible, and that's why these people persevere. This is what the heathen need to hear. This is what the unbeliever needs to hear, that God reigns. Now, I think it's ridiculous the way people try to bring this kind of truth in the back door. We've got to bring it in slowly. Kind of get people interested and then teach them this gradually. No, that's foolishness. Say to the heathen, God reigneth. He is in control. That's precisely what the heathen need to hear. And the reason we're in such a mess that we are in this country is because of the false God who's been preached all these years. And look where it's got us. Look at the state of this place. Oh no, say to the heathen, the Lord reigneth. This is what the heathen needs to hear, but this is also what the church needs to hear. This is what the believer needs to hear. This is what Zion needs to hear. Listen to Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him that bringeth good tidings. This is good news. That publisheth peace. There is no peace apart from this message. That brings good tidings of good. That saith, that publisheth salvation. There's no salvation apart from this message. That saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Now actually, this verse was the inspiration to this message. It doesn't simply say to Zion, God reigns. But say to Zion, the church, every believer, thy God reigneth. You see, this God who is sovereign is the God of Jacob, is the God of every believer. He says, I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. This is the God of whom it said, if God be for us, who can be against us? This is the God, thy God, that reigns. Oh, I need His reign. I need Him to reign in me. And every believer rejoices in His reign. Say unto Zion, thy God reigneth. This is good news to the believer that God reigns. You know, actually, this is going to be the subject of heaven. I want to read a passage of Scripture to you from Revelation chapter 19. Beginning in verse 6, we read, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God Omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready. This is the one who is Lord of lords and King of kings. And this is the song of the choir in heaven. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Now I ask again, where do you and I fall in here? What do you think of His reign? What do you think of the fact that He controls everything, that He controls you? What do you think of the fact that you have no control and He has all control? What are your thoughts regarding His reign? Do we say, as those citizens who hated Him, we will not have this man to reign over us? Well, you may not desire it, but you have no choice. He does reign. And you can say, we will not have this man to reign over us, but your will not be done. He does reign, and you're in His hands, and He can do with you whatever He's pleased to do. He can save you, or He can pass you by and let you drop into hell. And whatever He does is right. Now, what is your response to this? Now, if you believe what I'm saying, you know what you'll do? You'll sue for mercy. If you believe you have absolutely no control, that you can't manipulate Him, that you can't get Him to do anything, that you're in His hands, and whatever He does with you is right, if you really believe that, there's only one thing you'll do. You'll sue for mercy. Nothing else to do. Lord, have mercy on me. I'm in Your hands. Have mercy on me. Now, if you reject this, later on in this parable, in the 27th verse of Luke chapter 19, but those mine enemies that would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me. But you know, there are some who want Him to reign over them. Where do you fit in here? Would you say, Lord, we will. This is our desire. This is our wish. This is the desire of our heart for Him to reign over us. Now, this thing of believing the gospel, has to do with the heart. Now, what does it mean to believe with the heart, to believe in His reign from the heart? Well, the heart means the understanding. It means the affections. It means the will. Now, first of all, I understand that I need for Him to reign over me. I need His reign. You see, I know that if He doesn't reign in grace toward me, I won't be saved. I know that He's got to give me life as an act of His will. Just say, live, and I live, because if He doesn't, I won't live. He's got to overcome my wicked will and make me willing in the day of His power. He's got to give me, He's got to sovereignly say, believe, and then I believe, and repent, and I repent. He's got to reign in me. If He doesn't reign, I can't be saved. Therefore, I understand that I need His sovereign grace. Oh, how desperately I need His sovereign grace. I have some understanding of that. But not only do I have an understanding of His sovereign grace, in my heart, I love His reign. Remember, the heart has to do with the affections. I love Him reigning. I love His reign over the world. I love His reign over demons. I love His reign over the creation. I love His reign over angels. I love His reign over men. I am so happy that He reigns because I love Him. I love Him, and I love the fact that He reigns. And I love His reign in me, because I love the fact that His reign secures salvation. If He doesn't reign, I won't be saved. But He can sovereignly say to me, live, and I live. I love that. I love His reign. Not only do I have some understanding of my need of His reign, not only do I love His reign, remember, with the heart man believeth, the heart also has something to do with the will. Now, my will, my wish, my desire is for Him to reign. And if somebody said, here, it's all handed over to you, I'd give it back to Him. My will is that He reigns. I don't want to have anything but this. If I'm given my will is not my will, but thine be done. Just as our Lord prayed in the garden, not my will, but thine be done. I pray, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. I desire His reign. While this one crowd cries out, we will not have this man to reign over us. Here is the cry of every elect sinner, everyone who has been saved by His reigning grace. Oh, we will, we wish, we love His reign over us. That is our desire. You see, Psalm 110:3 says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Now here's one of the most mysterious things, one of the most glorious, awesome things about His power. He's got the power to make me willing. Now, if you make somebody willing, it doesn't seem like they're willing. It seems like you're just making them do what you want them to do. But that's not what the Lord does. He actually makes His people willing in the day of His power. He said to that man in John chapter 5, wilt thou be made whole? And when He says that to me, I say, yes, Lord. I want You to make me whole. Now we have this message on cassette tape, on CD, on DVD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. And our morning worship service begins at 10:30 this morning, 6 this evening. We'd love to have you come out and hear the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace. This is Todd Diver praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. That's our prayer.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.